Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. We had a number of key elections in key states around the country this past week, and Scott's going to give us the results and also talk about the impact. Scott, good to have you here.
Well, it's always great to be with you, Loman. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we had a number of elections around the country that some thought might be bellwethers for 2024, or maybe it tells us what messaging works and what doesn't. So let's go around the horn and start out in your home state of Virginia.
In the Commonwealth of Virginia, we had some really, really close, tight elections. Both sides were incredibly well-funded. And ultimately, in the state Senate, it looks like it's going to be a total wash, and the Democrats are going to maintain their two-seat majority. We did have a decent outcome in some of these really, really competitive races. There's a race in Prince William County with a guy named Bill Wolf, law enforcement, and he only lost his race by 4%. That was, I think, predicted to be a much bigger defeat. So he sort of overperformed there, making it really tight. And then over in Loudoun County, Juan Pablo Segura had a decent showing, but still a difficult loss. He lost by 6%. So those were two of the big races that I think Republicans were hoping to win here in the Commonwealth. And obviously, the Democrats have a message that they're kind of sticking to, and they were incredibly well-funded, like I mentioned. Then you flip over to the House of Delegates. Republicans held a small majority there heading into Election Day, and it looks like it's going to be 51-49 for the Democrats. The fundamental point here, Loman, is that these majorities are very, very small. Even if you just got one of these Democrats to change parties to Republican in both chambers, you would have ties. And so I think that everybody that's listening in Virginia and elsewhere where you have these close races, you have to understand how much your vote matters. You have to understand how important it is to actually get out there and cast your ballot and not be disgruntled, not be unenthusiastic about the political environment or whether or not there's various personalities that you disagree with. Policy is on the ballot, and these policies ultimately are voted on in our legislatures and determined by state agencies, and they impact our everyday life. And so I think what happened in Virginia was honestly fairly expected, just given the redrawn maps that we've had. I read earlier this week that Republicans actually won every race that was a Biden D plus 9 district or better, meaning if Joe Biden had only won by 9% or less, Republicans were winning there. And if that's going to be the situation heading into the general election for 2024, that's something that I'd love to see, because that means we're going to win a lot of races, because we know how tight these things can get.
Going a little bit further south, the governor's race in Kentucky was also thought to be somewhat a bellwether. But Scott, there you did have an incumbent Democrat. So what happened there?
Well, you just used the I word, incumbency advantage. We know that it's really, really difficult to beat incumbent governors. And what you had there was Andy Beshear, who is fairly popular in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Republicans did well down ballot, but Beshear won re-election by about 6% over Daniel Cameron, who was the attorney general there in Kentucky leading into the gubernatorial race. I think that there's still pretty strong enthusiasm for a voting bloc that wants to see a change. And to look at these races when it's 47.5 to 52.5 or 53 to 47, that's just a few people out of your community that you need to persuade to, number one, get off the sidelines, or number two, to change their vote, and we can win. And so I think that there's a strong message here when you talk about public safety and illegal immigration. I think that there's a strong message when you talk about Bidenomics and the socialist left and how far they're trying to really change the fabric of America. I think there's a message on parents' rights when it comes to indoctrination. I think that there's certainly a real opportunity for us to go after voters that feel disconnected, like nobody represents them. And, you know, I think there's an appetite for a lot of voters to just throw everyone out of office, even though there is an incumbency advantage. That's a close race for Beshears. He was up big just about a month ago, and that race certainly tightened as the spending sort of leveled out.
One state where the Democrats thought they might make inroads into a Republican stronghold was Mississippi, where, again, we had a governor up for reelection. What occurred there?
Yeah, I think some people were expecting a close race, but ultimately Governor Reeves won his reelection. I did see a post-election map that sort of was county by county and showed some areas in western Mississippi that are trending blue compared to the last election. And so I think it's just something for people to be mindful of. How does this sort of happen in these various pockets that are starting to trend? Is it because of an immigrant community that is sort of getting frustrated? Is it because enthusiasm among Republicans is dropping out? Is it because of parochial issues or local corruption? There's so many things that can dictate the way that voters feel when they show up and cast their ballot. Obviously, the early vote effort that we've seen throughout America seems like it's here to stay. There was a ton of money pumped into that. Obviously, politics for many is a business. And I think what's most important is that everybody that's out there listening really take a gut check here and see if you're satisfied with the results. If you're not, think about what else you could have done to change even just a few votes with family members or friends or neighbors or colleagues at work. What can you do to knock on doors? What can you do to drive people to the polls by taking a vacation day on election day? How can you actually assert yourself and be a part of our political system?
Well, we will continue to keep an eye on all of these election results and the themes and messages that played and didn't play with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. And Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Club for Growth is an organization based out of Washington, D.C. We are united in this idea of economic freedom and liberty and opportunity. We think that Joe Biden is doing a terrible job. And if you want to learn about Club for Growth PAC and the candidates that we support, you can check us out at clubforgrowth.org, and you can actually sign up to become a member for free.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. As always, Scott, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.